Good morning. I'm mighty quiet this morning. Again, it's good to see you. Appreciate you being with us in our Sunday school hour. Looking forward to our worship service today with Brother Tom Wagner going to be with us. I know we enjoy hearing him today. And Brother Billy is somewhere out yonder. I hope he is enjoying himself and relaxing and be ready to, when he comes back, put the hand to the plow and go again. So, but I look at your bulletin and think about, remember those that are sick, and Brother Doug Walters and the loss of his brother. Those unexpected things that take place in life, you know, when you expect them, they're bad enough, but such as that, unexpected. So continue to remember him and all those others on our prayer list. Aren't you thankful the Lord give you another Sunday to come back? That means he'd give us another week since last Sunday. So blessed us through another week. And I thank him. Thank him for his blessings each and every day and how he looks after us and cares for us and watches over us and gives us the strength to go on. And we just will admit it, sometimes in this world we live in, sometimes it's hard to go on. So we'll be again talking this morning about the Ark of the Covenant and the work of the Holy Spirit. And the more I get into this, the deeper it gets, and I don't know which way to go hardly. There's so much here. But I appreciate you being with us today and ask you, if you will, to bow in a word of prayer. And then we will go to Numbers and just do a little bit of reminder this morning in the fourth chapter. And then we'll go over to Joshua and to begin and begin to read there in the third chapter of the book of Joshua. As we follow the Ark of the Covenant. Lord, we again today come before you with thankful hearts. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. And we thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much that you were willing to give your precious Son, that we through him might enjoy not only the joys of heaven one day, but the peace and the comfort that you give us as we walk this journey of life. Lord, knowing that you're always present and that you know where we are at every moment of every day, and Lord, that you are a great God that can meet all our needs, but we know that you meet them according to your precious will. So Lord, today we'd ask that we might be molded to your will, that we might understand, though in physical mind we might not understand, but in spiritual mind and heart we know that you are totally in charge and you provide. And you see the future, and we don't, so we must submit it to you. Lord, I thank you for each one who's present this day. I ask now, as we open your precious word, Lord, that we would be hid and the precious word would be seen and understood, and we'd be strengthened and encouraged, and no more today when we leave than we did before we came. And that's what we call growing in the truth of your word. Ask your blessings upon everyone that's here, present, and those listening in by way of internet or whatever the means might be. Lord, again, ask that you bless Brother Tom as he comes today and brings us the message in the worship hour. Totally depending on you and trusting in you. And Lord, we know that you'll work your will in your way, both in our lives and in our church. Bless now as only you can. May you be exalted and we be humbled. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. Joshua chapter number 4, we looked. Now, as we looked at the Ark of the Covenant last Sunday, we saw that when it comes time to move the tabernacle, that God told Aaron to take his sons, the priest, and you go into the tabernacle, and you take down the tabernacle, so to speak. You remember they said you take down the Ark of the Covenant, you cover it in badger skin, and then you put the blue cloth over it, and they give specific ways that you prepare to move the Ark of the Covenant. And not only that, but everything that has to do with the tabernacle. And then Kohath's family was chosen of God to do, and it says, the work of the service. And the work of the service is the actual moving of the tabernacle. But this morning I want us to look at a few examples. When God says something, you think he means it. And that Ark of the Covenant was precious to God. And I think we can see that in his word. And I want you to pay attention to what he said in the latter part of chapter number 4 in these verses, when he's told Aaron and them how to move it. And then he says, you take Kohath and his family, and their work and service is to literally pick it up and move it after it had been prepared. The Ark of the Covenant is always covered when it's not in the Holy of Holies, okay? Now, I want you to notice how serious this is. In chapter number 4 and verse number 19, but thus do unto them, and he's just spoken to Moses. He says, the Lord spake unto Moses and said to Aaron, saying, cut off not the tribe of the family of Kohathites from among the Gentiles, but thus do unto them that they may live and not die. Now, I want you to notice that statement, that they shall live and not die. And many times we look at a statement like that and we think about our physical needs and the nourishment that we must have, but this goes beyond that because of what they were going to be asked to do. Now, when they approach the Most Holy, now see, this tells us what this is in reference to. We're talking about how they do and conduct themselves in the presence of what? The holy things. And they've just been, a statement has just been made that you do this to them so that they do not what? That they do not die. Now, look on. And Aaron and his son shall go in. Here's a refresher, shall go in and appoint them, every one, to his service and to his burden. Now, they've got the things of the tabernacle ready to go. It's all been put together, just like God said. He says, now, even after that's done, they don't just go in and go to picking up things. You go before them and you show them what they pick up and how it's done. Why? But in verse number 20, what? They shall not go in to see when the holy things are covered. What? Lest they die. Now, I want you to pay attention to a particular word here. But they shall not go in to do what? To see. Now, it does not say that they go in and touch and it happens. It says if they go in and see, then they shall surely die. Now, what's he saying? He says, now, you be sure to go with them and you make sure that they don't woke up to anything that you have prepared to move of the holy things, and they reach over and pick up the cover to look at it. Because if they do, they do what? They shall surely die. Now you keep that in mind, because that's an important statement as we continue to watch on through to the Ark of the Covenant. And remember, it had to be covered when it came out of the Holy of Holies. Okay, you got that? Now let's go over and begin to look in the book of Joshua. And we've worn these scriptures out and we've looked at them back and forth. But what we're doing today, we're looking at a parallel. You know, when the Lord first saved me, and I began to have an opportunity to do some teaching. In my early teaching years, it was New Testament, New Testament, New Testament. You know, I stayed in the New Testament. And then one day the Lord kind of whopped me upside the head and says, you know, there's the Old Testament too. And the thing that he put on my mind and heart is, you look for Christ in the Old Testament. And boy, you're talking about a blessing, but that was a blessing. And the parallel that we're looking for this morning as we study is we're looking for Christ in the Old Testament. And we're looking at the Ark of the Covenant. And that's the place, remember, that the priest had to go in once a year and sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice for the sins of the nation of Israel, his people. And they had to do it once a year. So on the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies is where the blood was sprinkled under the mercy seat with the two cherubims. Okay? Now, look again, and let's read these verses, but we're looking at them in a different light a little bit now this morning. Third chapter. Book of Joshua, fixing to cross Jordan with the Ark of the Covenant. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. We have just read back over your number that was to be prepared to move it. And a thought came to mind that I had not thought about prior. Do you think that when the Ark of the Covenant started its journey across Jordan, that it could be seen? Now, you float that in your mind for just a moment. Because we have just read that when it's prepared for movement, and it begins to be moved, that it's covered, and they better not do what? They better not even peep at it. If you do, you'll do what? You'll die. And I've wrestled this thing around, and I myself, now remember, this is a buried thing now. I can't look in here and read a verse and says until you read this verse and it tells you it was covered. I'm going by what God told them to do, and I think it was covered. So what would they see? They would see the covering on the Ark of the Covenant, but they could not see the internals of the Ark of the Covenant. How much of God have you ever seen with your physical eye? Have you ever seen the Holy Spirit? Have you ever seen Christ? Have you ever seen God? We do not see Him with physical eye. We see Him through a spiritual heart. Keep that thought in mind, and let's watch. In verse number 2, they're fixing to do the crossing. And it says, it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And here's that what? How many days? 3 days. Death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And who went through the host of the congregation of Israel? An officer went through. That's the first time that I've seen this. An officer went through. A chosen one went through. When Brother Billy stands at the pulpit, is he not a chosen man of God? Is he not called by God, ordained by God, to send the message of God? So, and this could be, it could be a pastor. It could be you one day. That if you talk to somebody with the gospel message of the saving grace of Jesus Christ and tell them about His mercy and grace and His Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the supreme price on Calvary that we might be saved. Whoever, who told you about Christ? If you're saved this morning, who told you about Christ? Most of us would probably say that a minister did, but some of us would probably say an individual did. An officer of the Lord, whoever it is, with God's word, goes and gives the message of saving grace. So here the officer goes to the host. And they commanded the people, saying, and they, the officers, commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, our God, and the priest and the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Let's look at this one a little bit. What does he say to them? And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Lord, they were going to see the ark covered, I believe. And we see the Word of God and feel the precious Holy Spirit through the Word of God. This is the whole book, but what's in it? This is the Word of God. And how do you learn the Word of God? When somebody expresses to you what's in it. It says now, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, you go where? You go after it. When the Holy Spirit convinced you and me that we were lost and undone and on the way to an eternal hell without Christ, the Holy Spirit drew us to do what? Go after Him. Now, look in verse number 4 now. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 3,000 cubits by measure. Come not near to it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way hitherto. Holy Spirit comes into your heart and mind. He says, take your time. You don't go before God. You let God lead. You let the Holy Spirit lead. You follow the Holy Spirit. I follow the Holy Spirit. And he says he's going to lead your way. And he's going to lead the way that you must go because what? You've not been this way before. When you and I come to know Christ in saving grace, Holy Spirit took up residence in us. Our life is not going to be like our life was before if you're truly saved by His marvelous grace, because the Holy Spirit's going to lead you and I in the way that we must go to be pleasing to Him. Verse number 8. Thou shalt command the priest that beareth the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. What are you going to stand still for? You're going to stand still and see the work of the Lord. Verse number 13, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord, the God of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it shall come to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bear the ark of the covenant before the people. And as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, because Jordan was overflowing the banks at the harvest time, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam and Zeretan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, fell and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho, and the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now, there's a particular word in these verses that I want us to look at. In that 17th chapter, it says that the priests with the Ark of the Covenant stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. In the midst of Jordan. In the middle. I want you to think about something. Another parallel. It says the priest. We got a high priest. Priest was carrying the Ark of the Covenant. Took 4 to carry it, so there's 4 of them. We've got 1 high priest. They step into the brim or the edge of the water, and they stood still. And as soon as they set foot in the water, what happened to the rivers, to the waters of Jordan. I want you to think about something for just a moment. If the nation of Israel had just charged on across Jordan before the priest, what do you think would happen to them? How many of them you think made it to the other side? I don't think a single one of them would have made it to the other side. But let me bring something to your attention. One day, God's Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And one day He stood on the brink of this world. And Calvary was in front of Him. And He stood on the brink of this world and He started His path. And he walked down to Golgotha's hill. And when he got to Golgotha's hill, and they nailed him on the cross and stood him up for our sins, and he paid the price for every sin that you've ever done and every sin that you ever will do and every sin I've ever done and every sin I ever will do was laid on him at Calvary. And what do you think that he was doing as he walked to Calvary? He was doing just like he did at Jordan. He was taking all your sins, these over here that you've already done, and those over there downstream that you will do. And he piled those things up, and he made a path straight through your sins to Calvary, that you might walk a path of forgiveness and innocence. And not a single solitary one of your sins, just like not a single solitary drop of the water of Jordan ever touched one of the nation of the children of the nation of Israel, because they walked through on dry ground. And those priests were standing in the Ark of the Covenant in the midst of it on dry ground. There's something else I think that I can see in this too. I think that I can see that it's for those sins. It stopped dead center in Jordan. And see, that's all your past sins and all your present sins. It's also for all the Jews, and it's also for all the Gentiles. Where was the nation of Israel headed? They were headed to Canaan's land, the promised land. How many times do we sing a song about Canaan's land or promised land? I'm traveling through, I'm headed that way. I think you see Christ in a whole lot of places in the Old Testament. See, our high priest stood at the brink of all the world's sins. And when his blood ran down the cross to the ground, it cut a path through our sins that leads us to God and to heaven. Think on that one. You remember they took the 12 stones and they stacked them up in the middle of Jordan. And you know, we talked about what the number of 12 represents. It represents a perfect government, but it also represents the perfect commission to the will of God. Perfect commission to the will of God. What did Christ say in the Garden of Gethsemane? Not my will, but what? But thine be done. submitted to the perfect will of God, that he'd suffer for the sins of the world. Now I want us to go over to 1 Samuel. And we're going to go to chapter number 6. Ask you a question. When was the first sacrifice offered? Or do we got to go back to find the first sacrifice that was offered? Huh?
When Abraham was going to sacrifice his son? When Abraham was going to sacrifice his son?
We got to go back following that. And when was the last one offered? We'll look at a couple of those things right quick for you this morning. And then we're going to begin to read here in 1 Samuel in chapter number, I might go to chapter number 5. Yeah, I will. We'll be in chapter number 5, verse number 1. Let me remind you. God's plan is an amazing plan. And he did something. Let me read this to you. Let's go way back to the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve have just sinned in the Garden of Eden. And what did God do? To clothe them. What had to happen for them to be clothed? What were they clothed with? See, there's a blood sacrifice. Without blood, there is no remission of sin. And when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, before they could be brought back to where they could stand in fellowship with God Almighty, he had to take the innocent lambs, I believe, that he had just created. And remember, he said when he did those things, he said, it's good, it's good. What I've done is good. And these were two perfect, I think, lambs. And he said in chapter number 3 and verse number 21, and to Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. That's our first sacrifice. And of course we see the nation of Israel as God commanded them how to do the sacrifices. And those sacrifices and those offerings kind of got lost when the king, nation of Israel, said, I want a king. That's all we looked through. Not sure exactly when the last sacrifice, the nation of Israel did their last sacrifice. The Romans in 70 AD destroyed the second temple, totally destroyed and burned it. And we don't know exactly where the Ark of the Covenant is or what really happened to it. It does not tell us in Scripture. exactly where it's at.
Where
we think we know. It's, I'll guarantee you, some people think that it was destroyed and it melted down. Nope. I think it's somewhere. Remember I said, I think it's somewhere. And I think it looks just like it did when it was made. Go ahead, bro. Pardon? That's a good question. Now, I'm glad you mentioned that, because we have just seen what he told the children of Israel about the Ark of the Covenant. Not only do you not touch it, you don't even take a peek at it. And who does that apply to? That's, but you just watch this, though. You see, that's the reason we're talking about the Ark of the Covenant again this morning, because the more I studied this thing, the deeper it's got.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
One word. Ichabod. God's glory has departed.
My hair's gone. Talk.
Ichabod.
Yeah. You know, there's so many things that we see in this. You're gonna have to holler for me to hear you, sister. Nope. You see, and we are looking. The thing that we got to keep in mind now is that we're talking about the Ark of the Covenant that was made for who? The nation of Israel. What difference now does it make about where the Ark of the Covenant is? To us, it's Christ and the Holy Spirit that leads. Christ has made that total sacrifice for us. We've accepted that total sacrifice. The nation of Israel, who are they looking for? They are still today looking for a Messiah as hard as they can. So only people that the Ark of the Covenant means anything to is the nation of Israel. Well, guess what? In the tribulation period, what's one of the first things that's going to happen? The third temple is going to be built. Two have been destroyed. Guess what's going to be in that temple? That temple is going to have the Ark of the Covenant in it. Guess what the nation of Israel is going to do? They're going to go back and sacrifice, just like they did in Old Testament days. I was reading an article. Well, we're not going to get far in this lesson. It's time to go. I was reading an article, I don't know where it was, last night or yesterday, and they have been getting the red heifer. See, the holy sacrifice has got to be a red heifer, a cow, and it has got to be perfect. And I mean, when it say red, even the hoofs are red. In Texas, some ranchers had some heifers. They looked at the heifers. I think they might have even sent them to Israel. And they looked at them. And you're talking about going over with a fine-tooth comb. They had to put them under a microscope because guess what? They found two black hairs. And guess what? Disqualified. So they are trying now. Now, while we are here this morning, they're trying to get everything back together so that they can do the sacrifices in the tabernacle, in the temple, like they used to in the times that we're talking about here.
There was five of them that were unblemished that they gave to Israel several months ago.
Five of them?
Yes. Two of them they found hairs on, and they got rid of those two. There were still three.
They're still working.
A month ago, they burned the one. They sacrificed the one. The
yeah. Yeah, they're doing some experimenting. So we don't know. This is larger than we are, folks. Because God's larger than we are. And we can't imagine how everything's lining up for the end. But all these things like this we read and study and look at, it's all lining up. They say that they already have all the instruments and everything that's needed when it comes time to sacrifice. They need a temple. They need the Ark of the Covenant. And they need their heifers. And I'll guarantee you God's got them somewhere. I don't think it's going to be long before we look from up yonder down here and see it being done again. My time's gone. I reckon we'll have to start in the fifth chapter of 1 Samuel next Sunday, Lord willing. And he blesses us to be here. God bless you. Thank you much.